ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 56. Text 56. Dukheshva anudigna mana sukheshu vigatas praha vitaraga bhaya krodha stita dhira munir uchyate. Dukheshva anudvigna mana sukheshu vigata spraha vitaraga bhaya krodha stita dhira munir uchyate. Dukheshva anudvigna mana sukheshu vigatah spraha vitaraga bhaya krodha stita dhira munir uchyate. Sukheshva vigata spraha vitaraga bhaya krodha stita dhira munir uchyate. Sukheshva dvignamagnaha raga bhaya krodha keshwa din manamaha Dukheshu, in the threefold miseries, anudvigna manaha, without being agitated in mind, sukheshu, in happiness, vigatas praha, without being interested, vita, free from raga, attachment, bhaya, fear, krodha, and anger, sthitadhi, whose mind is steady, munihi, a sage, uchyate, is called. We are on text 56, and we can read the translation now. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of the steady mind. Please repeat. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways from mental speculation. Without coming to a factual conclusion, it is said that every muni has a different angle of vision, and unless a muni differs from other munis, he cannot be called a muni, in the strict sense of the term. Na sava rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. The Mahabharata, Vanaparva, 313-117. But a sthita dhira muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary muni. The sthita dhira muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. He is called Prasanna Atma. He's called Prashant Nishesh Mano Ratha Antara, Strota Ratna 43. Or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and has come to the conclusion that Lord Shri Krishna or Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarva Miti Sa Mahatma Sudurlaba. He is called a muni fixed in mind. Such a fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the three folds of miseries, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries, by the grace of the Lord, are minimized to the lowest. Similarly, when he is happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of happiness. He realizes that it is due only to the Lord's grace that he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. Attachment means accepting things for one's own sense gratification, and detachment is the absence of such sensual attachment. But one fixed in Krishna consciousness has neither attachment nor detachment, because his life is dedicated in the service of the Lord. Consequently, he is not at all angry even when his attempts are unsuccessful. Success or no success, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination. Om Gyanam Tam Dasa Gyanam Janashlakaya Chakshmani Tam Yene Tasme Shri Inama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshachade Shatarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurav Bhakti Vanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna. Reading the translation again. One who is not disturbed in the mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of the steady mind. So, Here, like we said last time too, this is a summary of, this chapter is a summary of what the Gita, Krishna is saying in the rest of the chapters. And here Krishna is talking about, prior to this, Arjuna asked Krishna in text 54, if you read the translation 54, he says, Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he talk? So Arjuna was asked the question of Krishna that what are the symptoms? What is a person, you know, who is Krishna conscious? What does he look like? What does he think like? How does he behave? And so here Krishna is answering that question asked by Arjuna, and is giving the symptoms of a person who is in transcendence, who is thinking of Krishna all the time. And so he's saying, I guess In the previous shloka, he says, the man who gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is supposed to be in pure consciousness. And he's further elaborating his things, one who is not disturbed in the mind. So, when does the mind get disturbed? That's one thing. And Krishna is saying, generally a mind gets disturbed is when we are affected by some trouble, some misery. Amidst the threefold miseries. So either mind is disturbed when we are unhappy because of these miseries, or so you can say the positive difference, either we become depressed when we have miseries, or we become extraordinarily happy. We become a hooligan. We dance naked in the streets, you know, sometimes people do that. And that is, well, in my time when I went to school, there was a thing called, you know, they used to do that. Streaking. Remember that? Right? So, and so that's when they're extraordinarily happy, and that's also disturbance. And so, so Prabhupada is giving us the, he is talking in this purport, talking about the word muni that Krishna uses, defines what who is a muni, and who is a fixed up muni. And then, to a certain extent, he is also talking about what are these miseries that makes the mind upset. And then Krishna says, a person should be free from the attachment of fear and anger. And so, I mean, he's free from attachment, fear, anger, those three things. And so we'll talk about all those things and try to understand the words. So what are the threefold miseries? That's the first question that keeps our mind sometimes agitated. And it is said that all the miseries, all the troubles can be put under three categories. Okay? The first category of miseries is caused by our own self. And these are called adhyatmik. Sanskrit word is adhyatmik, means of my own. Let me go through the three categories and then we'll discuss them in detail. The second category of miseries is adibhautik, that someone else causes to you. Right? That's another set of troubles. And the third set of troubles that come is from adi devik, that it is caused by circumstances by beyond our control in terms of from high above, from the demigods. It's like by the supernatural powers, you know, it's like the... So, what does that mean? Let's discuss them one at a time. Adhyatmik, problems that I cause on my own self. Nobody else is responsible. This could be my own past karma. I have to pay for it. Maybe in my last life I hit someone. So now I'm paying the consequences. It could be that I, of my own accord, ate too much, so I have an upset stomach. So that's a misery. I caused, no one else did. Right? Nobody else said you overeat. I, on my own, decided to do that. So that's adhyatmik. The next category, adibhautik, someone else causes misery. So, you have an insect bite. The insect is a living entity. And bhautik means someone who's a living entity. And he came and bit me, and, you know, sting me, and so that causes misery. So that's adibhautik. Someone else does. all our fevers. You know, somebody said there's fever from bacteria, from viral fever, infection. Somebody comes and hits you, shouts at you. These are caused by some other living entity. And the third type of misery is where we don't have any control at all, is given by the demigods, natural disasters, for example, earthquakes. In fact, if you have an insurance policy, the insurance covers everything except it does not cover, as you see that at the end, acts of God. These are called acts of God, earthquakes. You never know what's going to happen, and this is not planned or or something that, you know, floods, earthquakes, what else? Heat waves, cold waves, tornadoes, tsunamis. These are all acts of God, or God with small g, G-O-D-S. And so those, Gita summarizes everything in it. So from now on, if you ever have any kind of trouble, you can put them in one of those three categories. There's no fourth category. It's either you're responsible, I'm responsible, you're responsible, or from there. That's all. There's no fourth category. Okay. Now, you may have a combination, I don't know, but there's no fourth category. You see? That's so nice. So these are the threefold miseries. And now, we're saying one who's not disturbed in the mind. Now, where do these miseries happen? They really happen on the bodily platform. Okay? When a mosquito bites us, he's biting the skin, body. There's no way he can bite the soul. So these miseries, they all happen on the bodily platform. So the more we are in transcendence, the less these miseries will bother us. Transcendence means the more we believe that I am the soul, not the body. So that's why he's saying, what are the symptoms of man in transcendence? Man in transcendence means he's not on the bodily platform. He's above the platform that I'm an Indian, I'm American, I'm a European, I'm Hindu, I'm Christian. He's above all those designations. Okay? When we get fever, our body is hot. Soul is not. And so, if someone realizes I'm the soul, the body is the covering, it's like, one way to understand that is, there are many people, I can give my own example. You know, the first time I bought a new car. Right? And just, I think it was like the second or third day, and somebody just came from behind and hit me, right? And I was just so disturbed. Somebody hit my car. And you know what my mother said the first thing? So I called my mother up, you know. And he said, how are you? I said, okay, you know, but my car is good. And he said, well, you know, don't worry about the car, I'm worried about you. So car is replaceable. Car is you know, it's just a piece of metal. So you can see the consciousness. My consciousness was, if you take that analogy, was on the bodily platform. Something happened to my car, and many people say, well, car is replaceable, you should not get hurt. Same thing. One who is of a steady mind, sthita dhira, he doesn't worry about the body. Body is replaceable. Every 7 years, this is a medical fact, we get a new body. Every 7 years. What you should do is you should take a picture of you. But not in 2012 almost, right? Take a picture on January 1. And you take another picture in 2019, your body will be different. You see, that's on passports, the length of passport is 5 years or 10 years. Passport is not forever. I mean, you could say, well, I'm the same person, Why not just have one permanent passport for throughout my life? Because passport is your bodily identification, and the body changes. In fact, the body of a child changes faster. So they give a, you'll see when they give a passport for a child, they give it only for 5 years. And then I think that once you go over 18, then they give you for 10 years. Because then there's a little bit slower change. So there are many people, oh, my face is wrinkled up. I got to do something, I get Botox, what do they call Botox? Botox, this kind of thing, right? And so, you know, the body is changing, there's nothing you can do about it. But the soul is fresh. And people say, you know, I feel like running, but my body doesn't cooperate with me. So now that you start to say, okay, there are two things, there's soul, there's a body. So a real Muni, Prabhupada is saying, is the one who does not think he's the body. And Prabhupada, he gave a lecture in New York on this thing in 1966, and he says, he gives the example of Socrates. Right? All of you are philosophy students. What was Socrates asked by someone? To drink hemlock, poison. And what did he say? I'll drink it. He said, I'm not the body. He said, try to catch my soul. You cannot catch my soul. And so, so that is a sign of someone who's not disturbed. See, we get disturbed on a bodily platform. We get disturbed on a bodily platform. All the disturbances. Bodily may be the physical body or the mental body. The subtle body is the mental body, and the physical body is. So, physical body, we go to a doctor, regular doctor, and for mental condition, we go to a psychiatrist, sort of thing. So that's the Prabhupada saying a sthir dhir muni is different from an ordinary muni. Ordinary muni is on a mental platform. Just like, and there, Prabhupada says very nicely, it's like all the PhDs. A muni is like an ordinary PhD. You get PhDs, and they're trying to search, you know, trying to bisect a hair. Or, you know, when look at all these PhDs that are being taken now, these are like on sort of useless subjects. You know, they have to get a PhD, and then and the PhD has to be something original that nobody else has done. Right? So it'd be like, you know, somebody may have done a PhD on the nose. Then somebody comes along and he does, well, his nose is already done, I'm going to research the right part of the nose, the right nostril. And then somebody says, well, no, I'm going to research the left nostril. That's how it happens. This is like the word muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation. It is said that every muni has a different angle of vision. You've heard of the story, or there used to be a poem when I used to go to school. I think Wordsworth, some English poet, written on the elephant and the seven blind men. Right? And the seven blind men, they had heard so much about elephants, so they said, we got to figure out what does an elephant look like. So they all, you know, they were blind. So the blind people can feel and imagine things by touch or sound. You know, they have extremely strong or powerful in those two senses. And so they found an elephant, and one of them touched the elephant and said, oh, elephant is like a tree. Right? So what was he touching? The elephant. The trunk. No, the leg, not the trunk. Right? Then somebody else touched. He said, well, elephant looks like a fan. He was touching the ear. Right? So it just goes on, so it was from a different angle. But nobody had the total picture. And that's the thing that in a way Krishna is saying here, that still Dhir Muni has a total picture. I'm not the body, I'm not even the subtle body, I'm a soul, my conscious position is that I'm a servant of Krishna. And when he does that, when he's on a spiritual platform, on the platform of soul, then he's not disturbed by the three miseries. And the other thing is, so Krishna says, that's one part. So we talked about this is like sadness when somebody said happiness, and Krishna is talking about the freedom from attachment, fear, and anger. And these three things also happen. Attachment, fear, and anger, they happen on the bodily platform. You cannot have an attachment on a soul platform. You see? Like Socrates was not afraid. He said, I can drink because you cannot kill my soul. The poison affects only the body. So he had no fear. Krishna is saying, Vita means to be free from three things. And Krishna repeats this in chapter 4, text 10. Vitarag Bhaikrodha, right? And so, these are three things that we are, that get us into trouble. And this is almost on the, when we are on our own platform, adhyatmic level. When you're suffering our own, it is either we are attached to something. So generally, right? I'm a father, right? I have two boys, and something happens to me, and something happens to, say, them. Then I'm really upset. Take him to a doctor, this or that. But somebody else down the street, if he has the same condition, I probably don't act like that, right? Because I'm attached to my son on a body platform. And therefore, he is my son, the other guy, he's someone else. Let his mom worry about it, or his father worry about it. Right? So all the attachments that we have, they are on a body platform. My father, my son, my wife, my husband, my car, my this, my that. And that attachment gets us into trouble. So that's one part. The other thing is bhaya. Bhaya means fear. You're fearful on the body platform. Something will happen to my leg. Because Krishna, he just said it in chapter 2, just a few slokas before, that a soul cannot be cut, it cannot be burnt, it cannot be drowned, or it cannot be wet, it cannot be dry, it cannot wither. Soul cannot be do that. We say, I'm fearful. I'm scared to go over there. It's dark over there, I'm scared. What are you scared of? Say a snake. I'm really, personally, if you want me to be scared, just bring a snake. Even a toy snake. I'm just like... even to this day, even like a rubber snake, I'll scream. We all have phobias, right? But they're all based on bodily platform. And see what happens, these attachments, why is Krishna saying these attachments, these fears, they keep us on the body platform, they keep us from being attached to Krishna. What comes in the way of being attached to Krishna? What comes in the way is Krishna is saying, someone is transcendence, he has to be free from attachments, but we have to be attached. As long as we are living, we have to be attached. That's the other thing. Only the stones are not attached. And the question is, Krishna is asking, who should we be attached to? Because the attachment, they also cause problems. So the Krishna is saying, you be attached to me. Prabhupada says in the lecture, he said, you know, we think we have so many friends. But over time, those friends go away or we fight. You know, my son is supposed to be my friend. My wife is supposed to be my friend. But either they leave or we fight again, we each other, you know, or do something. But the true friend is Krishna. And either we can be attached, like Prabhupada said, either we can be attached to dog or we can be attached to God. Dog and God. If you take a look at the English spelling, it's reverse. D-O-G is dog, and you reverse that, you get God. It just so happens. I'm not sure if they designed it like that, but just so happens. So you can be attached to a dog. It's the bodily platform, dog. And many people are attached to dogs. In America, the common sight, the guy has a Porsche. Porsche is a pretty expensive car, even here, right? Red Porsche is going around. And he's sitting on the driver's side. Who's on the right side? The dog. You can see, so you say, I have a Porsche. Who did you buy the Porsche for? The dog. I mean, you think dog is a master in this case. Because generally the driver is a chauffeur, right? He drives the businessman or the boss. So in this case, the guy thinks it's my Porsche and I'm the owner, but we think by the dog is thinking, oh, I got a chauffeur here. So that is the attachment will. I mean, what does it? After a while, you lose your intelligence. You're so attached, and you get the dog intelligence. What is the God intelligence? That I am, Nitya. What is it? That I'm the seventh of Krishna. My constant position is to be servant of Krishna. So, so the the attachment. So there are there are four types of activities that we do. Every living entity has he does four things, four activities. So we talk about three miseries. If we talk about four. What's the right word? Four types of we'll come to a right word. We spend all our lifetime doing these four things: either eating, defending, bhai. When we're afraid, we try to defend ourselves, or nidra, sleep, and the fourth one is mating. Sex. All our activities, even when you go to job, you say, well, when I go to job, I'm not doing any of those things. But we are going to job so that we can do one of these things better. Okay? We take a much better paying job than the old job so that we can eat better, we can sleep better, instead of sleeping on a on the floor. Now we may have a nice, soft, silky, hard mattress with a nice, soft, silky, sheets on them. So all our attachments, all our activities, our attachments are based on those four things. And if we can get rid, and they are based on the bodily platform. It's a body that eats. It's a body that is afraid of. It's a body that is in the process of duplicating and reproducing. Okay, it's a body that sleeps. So Krishna is saying here, we got only a couple minutes left, that a fixed up muni, sthir dhir muni, is the one who is free from attachment. Yes, yeah. Attachment, he is free from fear, and he is free from anger. I'll ask you, anger, when does anger come about? What is the cause of anger? And what is the lust? Why do we get lust? Is when we do not get something that we want. And when we get frustrated. Right? Krishna says in later on, I think it's from text 67, is that the cycle, you look at something and we think about it. That's and lusting, right? And then if we don't get it, we get frustrated. And that's when we start getting angry. Right? It's a very, Gita is very scientific. Krishna is very scientific. It's not, hodgepodge. You can draw a flow chart. Nowadays, people and computers and all that, then they like to draw a flow chart. And what we're saying is, if you're not influenced by attachment or aversion, there is a real person. Okay? I think we can stop here. Yes? Yeah. I take him, but I leave the results to Krishna. Oh, in fact, I was going to talk about that story. I'll talk about tomorrow morning. I won't talk right now. But there's a nice story on that. What amounts to, I think, on the other hand, let me backtrack. A godly person, a Vaishnava, he's impartial. He's a friend to everyone. He's friend to everyone. So par dukh dukhi. Right? Okay, but what happens is we are more attached to our son and less attached to the other one. Because then that's why in the school they teach you moral science. That if you see someone on the road, he's bleeding, you should help him. Good Samaritan. Right? But the attachment comes about is that if we take to the doctor, I take my son to the doctor and I take the other person also to the doctor, you'll see if the son becomes more serious, then I get more upset versus I took someone else and then I say, well, yeah, I did my duty. I took him to the doctor. No, he didn't. So we should be like that, regardless if it's my son or someone else's son. But we that attachment brings us, then gets us into all the disturbances of the mind. So the doctor has admitted my son into the hospital and he has admitted the other person also. But when I go home, I'm disturbed all night. Oh, what is happening to my little one? We don't worry as much as, we don't lose sleep over the other person. Right? We say, I wonder how is my son doing? Is he okay? Maybe I'll even get up in the middle of the night and call the nurse up. I just can't sleep, but can you check on my son? Is he okay? So that's the... It's one thing, what is our duty as a human being from one person to the other person? And what is the attachment? This difference. Does that make clear? Yes? Anything else? What's that? Yeah. No, it hurts, but he's not disturbed. The hurt will be there, but he keeps on doing his duty to Krishna. You take a look, the perfect example is Srila Prabhupada. How many of us, if we were on a ship and we had two heart attacks, how many of us will keep on resuming our journey versus coming home, right? You always hear, and you know, they fly in a helicopter or something to take someone back to the hospital or back to his home, and you know, he cannot continue with the cruise. So Prabhupada knew, but he said, Krishna, what do you want of me? I'm a soul surrendered unto you. You know, why are you doing all this to me? So, Prabhupada, you take a look at it, throughout his life, you know, especially when you look in America, he never complained about his ailments that much. And if he did, I mean, he gave lessons. I mean, remember the devotees, in fact, Gilamati says that Prabhupada really didn't want to go to the hospital in New York first time he got sick. But the devotees said, no, Prabhupada, you got to go. So he said, okay, it's like a child telling, you know, my son telling me, no, you got to do this. So just to keep there for their satisfaction, he said, okay, I'll go to the hospital. And once he went there, I think it was the third day, he said, I want out. So if you read the Leelamrita, it's a very funny story. It's a kirtan. And once you get in the hospital, then the doctors own you. They won't discharge you. And so his kirtan and the Brahman, I forget. And they put, while the doctors and nurses were gone, they found a wheelchair. And they put Prabhupada on the wheelchair. And they just, you know, you see that in the comedies, right? You know, if you ever watch TV and you see that, you know, the patient is hiding from the nurse. They generally show this in the psychiatric funny movies. You know, the guy's going crazy, so he's running around, and the doctor's trying to find him. And so they were trying to do this because they said they will not release Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I want out. And the devotee saw that too. I mean, yeah? And so they finally, I guess they finally convinced the doctors too. But they literally bought the wheelchair. They're just wheeling him out. And so Prabhupada was totally not on a bodily platform. He never was. He showed by example. Now he has said, doesn't mean that you don't take care of the body. He says, we have to take care of the body, but we should know why, so that we can serve Krishna better. See, we talk about this method, the sex part. You can ask any doctor. Most people, they get heart surgeries, you know, triple bypass for quadruple bypass when they're 60, 65. And once they get operated upon and they're well, you know, what's the first thing that the doctor, that the patient asks generally? He's a 65-year-old man, right? Doctor, when can I have sex? How soon can I have sex? So they're having all this heart surgery so they can have some more sense enjoyment, and then they get into more trouble. Because basically you're done with all this stuff when you're 50. You have to start detaching yourself. You're supposed to go one person, sannyas. But that's what they do. So when we fix up our bodies, there's this, I think the devotee who gave up one of his kidneys for another devotee. He said, yes, because he's doing so much service. I mean, that's my sankirtan, that's my, sort of gift to Krishna, is that this other devotee who's doing so much service that he can keep on doing service. So that should be the attitude. Steve Jobs also got a new liver, right? Or pancreas. And he got the pancreas so that he could design a better iPhone or iPad, right? No, seriously. Krishna bless his soul. But I mean, That's what he did. I mean, coming so close to death, realizing that there's death, he could have then said, okay, now I'm going to quit. And do what I really have to do. And that's the difference. But then he went back to being the board of directors and being the president and designing more things. There comes a point, Chanakya Pandit has said, right, to save the village, one has to leave the family. To save the village, one has to save this city, one has to leave the village. He goes on, and to save the world, one may have to leave his country. But to save oneself, one has to leave the world. Ultimately, it comes to a point, you say, I've had enough with this world, I have to save myself, what do I need to do? Yes. Yeah. That, under all circumstances, I will serve Krishna. Or not forget Krishna. Under all circumstances. Marobi, Rakobi, I'm yours. You either kill me, you either beat me up, you hug me. Lachitana says, I'm yours. I'm your servant. That's one way to put it. There could be others, but that's the determination. The singers are here. Glorify Krishna. Yes. Well, what happens once in a while is like someone, this happens like in India, you know, you have a family and it's a traditional family, like, you know, you're not supposed to marry out of caste, somebody does that. So the village honor disturbs. So what they do, they will throw out the person. To save the honor of the village, the family sacrifices. That happens in all traditional cultures. You see that, right? And you just keep on going. You know, then suppose you have to serve in the army. So then you leave your city, all comfortable, so you can to save the country, you join the army, which means you have to leave your family, your village, your city, so on and so forth. And then you become the ambassador to UNO, United Nations. That's the world organization. So you leave your country, right? But then a point comes in at UNO. You start getting into drunk and all these high parties, this and that. And your health goes bad. It's, I don't care if it's UNO or you know, VNO, whatever it is, I got to leave this because I got to worry about myself. So, it says on a spiritual platform, a time comes when you get to infect your fist with this shloka, you have to free yourself from attachment, from anger, from all the desires. That's what it means. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.